It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Now, here's Jake.
Yes, here I am. I like guitar. I'm a rocker. Yeah. I wanted something heavier for this show. I never did get my way 100% there, but I'll take this. Anyway, Jake, Polk County Fair, and enjoying being on the road. And now I'm actually, I get to introduce Grace Faber, Oregon State Dairy Princess. And I'm actually now on my regular time, because normally we go from here now till 2 if we're at the fair. But last hour of the program, Grace, congrats.
Thank you.
Hey, you were here last year, and then you were a county fair.
Yeah.
And you decided to do the deep dive and go for the Super Bowl of Dairy Princesses.
Of course, right? It's always been my goal.
Right on, and you hit it. So talk about what it took for you to get this far, and just go ahead and fill us in on what you've been up to so far. And by the way, if memory serves, you were crowned in March?
Yes, okay. March is our state contest.
Start from there, Grace.
Yeah.
Have at it.
So the state contest, it was me and five other county dairy princesses. I was the Polk County Dairy Princess last year. And we each had a speech we wrote. We had a personal interview, a knowledge interview. We had to make a commercial on a dairy product, which is a lot of fun. A knowledge test. And they also judge us on our poise and our communication skills throughout 3 days at the state contest. And while it was a stressful, you got it through, you go through all the contests. It was a lot of fun getting to be with all the other county princesses as we went through the contest together. The Yamhill County Princess, who I was good friends with last year, is also the state alternate now.
Okay.
So we worked very closely together. And this year we have a great group of county girls that are coming in and will run for state this next March.
That is so amazing. Grace, you talked about your goal of being a state dairy princess, and you did it. And what's your plans for you? You know, what do you... You know, you're gonna, this is a giving position that you're in, but they're very benevolent towards you young gals, which I think is great. What's your plans? Are you gonna stay in the dairy world? I know your uncle's got a place. I mean, what's the plans?
Yeah, so I'm currently at Lynn Benton Community College getting a general agricultural science degree. And while I'm not sure if I want to continue to a 4-year school after I'm done, I'm going into my sophomore year, or if I just want to get a job straight out of LBCC, I know I want to continue in the ag world, hopefully somewhere in the dairy world. But even if I don't end up in a dairy career, I will always be a supporter of the dairy industry. I'm constantly at my grandparents' dairy farm. I have my own herd that I still go and play
with. Wait a minute, you have your own herd?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I started with my first cow in 7th grade, actually showing here at the Polk County Fair, Blossom, and she's still out on the dairy living her best life.
Well, and let's hope so, because we know what happens at times. How many cows do you have?
Well, that I showed, there's like 10 that are halter broke, but if you count all like the calves that they've had, I'm up to 19, I think.
You have some equity, young lady.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's amazing. How many of them are actually being milked right now?
I think I have 6 milk cows.
And how much are they averaging? See, start throwing some numbers out here.
One of them is producing about 10 gallons a day.
All right.
That's probably my highest producer, 10 to 11 gallons.
Yeah. So for those people who are trying to convert, what it's 8.65 pounds of milk per gallon. So you've got a 100 pounder.
Yes.
100 pounds a day.
She has won at every show she's been in on the breeds class.
Oh my gosh. Beautiful. And I know your Uncle Jack, correct?
My grandpa.
Or your grandpa, sorry.
Jack
Has always been well known in the valley for exceptional breeding dairy animals. And so how many are on the place there? How many guys milking over there?
He's currently milking about 600, but he's planning on retiring down to milking less again. So we'll see if it stays that way.
Again. I always hear these little, that's fine. Let's talk about what you're doing. You know, it's summertime now, but you got crowned in March, just in front of spring break. Talk about your school activities, adventures, and give us some highlight stories and of the schools you've been to and all of that.
Yeah. So as a state dairy princess ambassador, I represent Oregon's dairy industry across the state. During the summer, a lot of that is fairs, just like here today. Me and the Polk Yamhill dairy princess were actually handing out ribbons during the dairy show. I'll be at State Fair. I was in Malheur County Fair last week for their dairy show. And then during the school year, we do a lot more classroom presentations, K through 12. We go and we have different presentations for different age groups so that they can understand what they're learning, and we can advocate for the dairy industry, teach them about the benefits of milk, how well our farmers care for their cows, and just about the dairy industry in general. And then I'll also go to any other dairy activities, meetings, events that I'm requested at or that they need me at. So it's a full schedule, but I love it. If I could do this for the rest of my life, that would be what I would do.
Well, you know what? The industry would benefit from you doing that. But I got to tell you, and I've said it to your handler, I'm going to call mm-hmm. your princess. You got a handler.
My advisor. Yeah,
your advisor. Every princess since this program has started, and I'm 4+ years now, I come away and just am happily optimistic that this is the kind of program that you're in. Yeah. Talk about some of the, you know, I asked every dairy princesses, and I asked you this last year, what are the questions, and what are people's thoughts on dairy? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on where people are like, oh, animal ag, and there was a thing that didn't make the ballot. We're not going to mm-hmm. go there. But what's your goal?
Yes. So as a dairy princess, my goals, I like to say, are advocate for our farmers, promote milk, and inform people about the industry altogether. And I think that is the goal of any dairy princess. And with this program, we teach these girls, whether they make a state or alternate title or not, they are learning public speaking. They are learning how to stand up for themselves and advocate for not just the dairy industry, but the agricultural industry and for themselves in life as they grow up and continue advocating. And I think that is so important. A whole program does so much for us girls, whether it's with the scholarship money we get or just the life skills you learn, even just the experience that comes along with it
yep.
is so helpful, whether that's on a job resume or just daily life.
No, I think it's great. What are some of the questions you get asked?
I get asked a lot of questions. We actually just had a workshop we have what we call auxiliary training with all our county dairy princesses in Tillamook, where we train them for state fair. And we do a workshop, which is based off the hard questions you get in the dairy industry. Because this is an industry a lot of people don't know or they have misconceptions of. And that is why we want to train these girls on how to answer these questions, where they can inform people about the industry and the truth of how much these farmers care for their cows.
Yeah.
That if these cows were not happy and healthy, they would not produce a good product. And there is so many hard questions we get. But of course, we go to elementary classrooms.
Yeah.
We get some really fun questions at times. I had one kid one time that was, he was so positive that I was going to be taller than the milk tank. Or we had one kid that asked how many dairy princesses we have and then asked if we cloned ourselves. And that's how we've had so many. Or just hilarious questions. We have some kids that I had one kid ask if their goat could be half cow. And you get some hilarious questions along with those hard ones. So you get to have some fun, but also inform the public about the dairy industry and this incredible industry that me and so many other people were raised in.
Well, Grace, I mean, you're a shining example of what you want to see going on. Let's talk about some of the parents that might be at these classroom presentations. Do they come up and challenge you a little bit more?
Yeah, sometimes you do get.
And by the way, good luck with them doing that to you. I want to make go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's why we train our girls. We want to make sure that they are prepared when they do get the hard questions, because there are so many that do pop up. I personally have not had like someone come at me, probably is the best way to say it, and really try to argue with me. I've been able to inform a lot of people, but I remember a specific story. Sydney Stables, our last year's state princess, she has a story of how she was talking with a teacher of an elementary class who I think it was didn't drink whole milk or cow's milk because she thought our farmers were cruel to their animals. Mm-hmm. And she was actually able to inform her about how much our farmers care for their cows and the facts that if they weren't well taken care of, they wouldn't produce milk. And there's a lot more people like that who just don't see the truth and how happy and well cared for these animals are.
All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question because I still have it in my DNA even though it's been over 6 years.
Yeah.
Why don't I just drink almond milk or something? I mean, and I say this, it's painful. But
yeah,
somebody comes up to you and says, well, I think almond milk's better for me.
I have gotten that question. Okay. That is one. That's one of the ones we went over with our county girls this last week. And the truth is, there is so many more benefits when it comes to cow's milk. There's actually recently been a change in the milk that's provided in schools that they switched over to whole milk even because they're finding so many more benefits in it. But when you're comparing cow's milk with a milk alternative, everything in your cow's milk is natural.
Yep.
There's 13 essential nutrients that are critical, not just for adults to drink, but especially for like young kids that are growing up so that they are continue to be healthy and strong as they grow up into adults. And a lot of the nutrients that you can find in milk alternatives, they're added. And there's also a lot of added sugar. And the truth is, when you look at it, there is not a single milk alternative that really even holds a candle to the nutrients and minerals that you can get in cow's milk. And that's the truth. It is so important for people's diets. It is packed full of protein, calcium, and so much more to help with your bones, muscles, brain, and entire nervous system.
Grace Faber, Oregon State Dairy Princess, hang on. We're going to continue this. Jake, Rural Matters, live Polk County Fair. Be right back.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by Auto Team Service Center and Tim English, English Realty, Keller Williams, Capital City. Now, back to Jake.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you, 1430 AM KYKN, for having me on. And this is so America. It's so beautiful to be out at a fair and to see all the people. And Grace Faber, I can't do a show at least once a year without a Oregon State Dairy Princess or County Princess. I think I've done that from day one, and we'll keep doing that. Grace, talking about before the break, the health benefits, and anything you want to add to what you just said earlier, because I think it's so important to hear that.
I think I covered it pretty well, but even there's other statistics and things that people have looked into that cow's milk itself is one of the cheapest forms of like protein and minerals and nutrients that you can get out of any sort of food, because it is so packed with nutrients, but you can't get anything for the price you can milk that will support a young child and help them grow big and strong.
It's got it all. And I certainly can I'll concur with that. How's the camaraderie with the other county princesses going to Tillamook? A lot of dairies out there.
Yes.
So how are you guys doing? Getting along? Kumbaya all over it? How is it?
Yes. We have an amazing group of girls. We actually have a large group. We have 8 different county dairy princesses this year. And we have had so much fun. I've loved getting to know them all. And I think we have a really good group running for state this next year. So whoever does win state and alternate will do an incredible job advocating for our industry for sure.
What's your favorite part of doing this? Because this is technically, it's your second year.
Yeah.
What do you like about doing this?
I can't think of a thing I don't like about this, but when it comes down to it, what I've always loved doing my whole life, I'm a talker. I like to talk. We kind of know this. But I love advocating for our farmers. Growing up on a dairy farm, I have seen the ins and outs. I've seen the hardships and the joys. I love cows with all my heart, and I want people to see the truth of the industry. It's so hard scrolling through social media sometimes and seeing people spreading this false information. And people who have never been on a farm before will take that and believe it.
Yeah.
And that is so hard to see when there is so much joy, and it's an incredible industry, the benefits of milk, how much these farmers care for their cows. This is their life, and that's what people don't realize. Most of these farmers have been farming their entire life. They've grown up around cows. This is their favorite animal. They spend their livelihood doing this. It is a hard industry, and they would not do it if they did not love it with everything in them.
No, can't say that any better than that. And you share that message, and do you come across some people and where they go, okay, all right, I see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to say you turned anybody,
yeah,
but, by doing that, you open people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that working?
It's an amazing feeling to have someone say, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I learned something new. This is a part of the industry I've never seen before. And I have had people say, oh, I didn't know that. Like, that's a new fact I learned. I didn't know this or that. And it's incredible to help people see the side of the industry that I see and I was raised around. And I think that's what brings me the most joy in this position.
All right. So summer is going to be over in no time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What do you have going on? And is there anything you want to share with my audience?
Yes.
Please,
so
go for it.
Once the school year starts, my position shifts a little bit more to where I do a lot of classroom presentations. K through 12, I can do it all. We have different presentations for different age groups so they can understand what we're teaching them. I think it's so important, especially for young children, to learn about the dairy industry so that they can carry that with them as they grow up and continue advocating in their own way. And we make them fun and interactive. All our presentations are completely free.
Yeah.
So teachers can have us, like the younger grades are like 30-minute presentations and the older ones are closer to an hour. And they can go to the Oregon Dairy Woman's website and request a visit anywhere across the state. We'll travel. I love going to classrooms. Kids are so much fun. They're so interactive and they have such a joy for what you're telling them. They see a baby cow on your screen. They get so excited. And you can just teach them so much about the industry.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how busy you are,
mm-hmm.
because you are, you know, you're attending, you know, Lynn Ben, or
yeah.
Lynn Ben, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have your herd.
Yes.
And you have this, talk about your day and what you yourself are going to be doing going into the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So. That's one of the questions they asked us at state contest, because they want to make sure their state princess is able to fulfill her duties. They ask how you would manage your schedule. And I have multiple ways I've found to do that. During the summertime, I actually work at the Marion County Courthouse part time, doing their filing as like a summer internship sort of thing. And it gives me a really flexible schedule because it's part time. So I put my Dairy Princess events first, and then I fill in all the other days so that I can work and just make some money, continue saving up for college, and just a bright future, hopefully. And then during the school year, because I'm at Lynn Benton, a community college, I can have a little bit more flexible schedule. And I try to get all my classes on 2 to 3 days a week, so I can fill in classroom presentations on the other days. And if there really is like an important day that I have to go to school, I have an alternate for a reason, and she's amazing, and she's free to do so much. We get along great. So it's a great partnership, and we work really well together. But when it comes down to it, Dairy Princess almost always comes first for me, because I do love it, and I only have 1 year to do this, so I'm going to make the most of it.
No, and I can tell that you are. And so September, where's your tour of schools going to start?
So September is actually a pretty chill month for me because a lot of schools are getting back into
their routine.
Yeah. And I don't start school till like September 28th. So I'm filling it with whatever I can, getting all my work hours in. I'm pretty sure I'll be meeting with you in September.
Yeah, we'll get you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about stuff. We'll do a little bit of a deeper dive because you're very, very important. You guys, you gals, I should say, getting a message to young people, even though yourself, you're young,
but, yeah.
I mean, ground up, you know, which is why 4-H, FFA, things of that nature to show the world what's available. And I think it's amazing. And so you're going to be here today. And then are you here tomorrow as well? Or do you move on?
I probably won't have a crown on my head, but I'll be here all day.
You will be. Yeah.
My friends and my sister is showing as well. So
how hard is it to show?
Depends on the animal, but all of it needs special talents. I showed hogs for 3 years, and that's what my sister's showing. But I also showed dairy cows. So that comes. There's different things that are easier with one and harder with the other, and you just got to learn. It's a learning curve, and I think it's so important for young kids to be in 4-H and FFA and show these animals because it teaches you so much about just work ethic in general and responsibility. And I think that's so important to etch into these young kids' minds.
How much practice does it take to halter a Holstein and to teach that? How come you don't throw your back out dragging those?
I'm tall. I know you are.
Well, yeah, I know that. But I mean, there's a lot of work involved here. Mm-hmm.
There is. And I mean, it takes a lot of work. Some cows are easier to halter break than others. I have to say that's the truth. I usually have more success with Holsteins and like Jerseys. But it really depends. My milk cows always walk better than my heifers. It's kind of like a switch in their brain, it seems. But I try to walk them daily if I can. If they're at my house, it's a lot easier. Otherwise, I'll head out to the dairy and walk them. I haven't halter broke a calf in a long time since it's been a year since I showed. But it's definitely a lot of work. And you got to work with them. And it will show in the show ring if it's a calf that has been worked with. It will come out in the ring. And you'll be able to see your hard work pay off.
Yeah, because people need to know they're not generally tame.
They're not like dogs.
No, not at all. You've got it. So can you go up and find your cows and pet them? They don't run away from you?
Yeah.
Huh?
I can go. I can hug my cows. Uh-huh. I actually own the dairy. They've got like custom pink and blue tags so I can find them easier too. But yeah, my cows are like puppy dogs. My oldest cow is 6 years old and she walks like an angel. I throw a halter on her. She pops her head up and she gets so excited to go out of the pen and walk around the dairy.
Grace Faber, Oregon State Dairy Princess. Best to you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you in a month. Jake, Real Matters back after this.
The Blue Star Gas Rural Matters continues live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by Copycats and Rick Riel Farm Supply. Once again, here's Jake.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So good to be here. And also want to thank Home Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning as well. It is great to be here. Anytime we can get the program Rural Matters out into the rural and Polk County, definitely the Polk County Fair, definitely meets that that spectrum, if you will. So good to have Ava. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to do this. Hedlund Lundy. How did I do?
Pretty good. Hedlund Lundy.
All right. You know, you do it better than me, obviously. And EMT.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about that. You know, you're 20 years old. And what was it that got you into wanting to do this is an amazing calling. Go ahead and give us a little deep dive on yourself, Ava.
Yeah. Well, I grew up surrounded by a little bit of medical lifestyle. My mom's a midwife. And so I kind of grew up like pretty comfortable with the idea of it. And I was actually a dental assistant for 2 years before I ever was interested in going into the more medical side of things. And just being in college, doing all my prerequisites for dental school, actually, I ended up not having time to be a full-time dental assistant. And so I left there and just so happened to run into Chief Hurdle of Southwest Polk Fire District, and he got me on as a volunteer.
Okay.
And that's how I got here. And they really championed me and helped me get my foot in the door to get here.
So this is a job for you. You're certified? How does this all work?
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and do a kind of a deep dive. Somebody listening, a young person like yourself, or maybe a little older, and they want to do what you're doing. Where do you start?
Yeah.
And how does that all work? What's the process?
There's a couple different routes you can go to become an emergency medical technician. The way I was able to do it, I started out as a volunteer at Southwest Polk. And through that, they were able to get me into an online program. So I did my schooling online, but you still have to go in person and get signed off on the actual skills that you need to be able to, how quickly can you respond? How quickly can you think and react to an emergency situation? So I had to do all of that in person, and there's a nationalized test.
Wow.
That you have to take after that. It's a pretty intense test, and it's timed, and it's proctored.
Is it like those PSI tests? Where you go to a place where you become a real estate agent, or I mean, how do you do this?
Yeah. So in Oregon, I know it's through piercing testing centers who go in. I mean, they check everything. they make sure you don't have anything on you. And you you can do it proctored online, but it's like a 45 minute. You have to show them the room you're in. Yep. And that's what I did. It was a 45 minute process for them to see the whole room and make sure I didn't have anything or anybody in there with me. No screens or TVs, to just make sure that it is you and your knowledge against the
test.
Yeah.
All right. Talk about the knowledge. What did you have to learn? What skill level do you have to have, and go with that so people understand you're not just riding in an ambulance?
Yeah. I think you have to have graduated high school. I think other than that, you can get into it and you can apply to like a community college. I know Chemeketa does EMT programs, and I believe you have to have some prerequisites for their program. For the program I did it through Idaho Medical Academy.
Okay.
I just had to prove that I graduated high school, but you get tested every section, I guess. So if it's airway emergencies, you go through and you do this whole module on airway emergencies, and then you get tested on it, and then you move forward.
So when you talk about airway, is that talking like breathing?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an obstruction or something like that. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And so that's just how it kind of broke down for me. So every section had, trauma emergencies, bleeding emergencies, all these different types of scenarios. You go through, you learn everything that you need to know in those situations. You learn what's in your scope of practice as an EMT to be able to help. And then at the end of that module, this is how it worked for my course that I did. You got tested on it. And then every, I think there was 40 modules.
Wow.
Like 10, there was like a benchmark exam that had, it was longer and more intense. And then you moved forward onto the next one. And then, all of it breaks down to when you do your skills week and show that you have the actual skills to do it, not just the knowledge in the back of your head. If you're able to do it. And then the national exam really is just kind of what shows if you've been able to take in all of that and put it on there.
Were you able to get it the first time?
I was actually.
Good for you. Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
All right. So on that exam, how much time does it take to start and then to reach the point where you got to take the exam?
I there's different routes you can do.
Sure.
I believe like 3 to 6 months is kind of average. Some are longer. Some you could do it shorter. I probably could have finished mine a little bit quicker if I wanted to, but I wanted to take more time to dive into the information. And I was also in college alongside of it. So I kind of took things step at a time, but I think a lot of people are able to finish their programs in 3 to 6 months.
All right. So how long have you been doing it now?
I started volunteering January, I believe.
Okay.
And so, and I did a lot of volunteer hours, ride-alongs, assisted them while I was in my program because I was with a paramedic who was able to teach me things. And so, which is how our station works. You can go do ride-alongs with whatever you're qualified and certified to do. And so I spent a lot of time there, probably like 20 hours a week I spent down at our station, either working on homework or working on my EMT or going on calls with them. And yeah.
So when are you going to be officially then the EMT? Are you one now?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I'm a certified Oregon EMT. Yep.
Okay. So now that you're doing that, talk about a little bit about the job. I mean, this is serious, serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a story or a win or, something you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah, I can share a little bit about what I do. So I have a full-time position as a wildland firefighter EMT through an OSFM grant that was given to our district to hire a few of us. And the station that we respond out of, we wait for a call to come through. And a lot of what we go on as wildland firefighters is like the bigger fires that have happened in, Polk County.
Sure.
And sometimes we get asked to come assist on medical calls, and I go with my partner who is a firefighter. And, depending on the call, we'll go and assist them with moving the patient, getting them in the ambulance where the paramedics can then transport them and do whatever we can there. But sometimes, like recently, we had a call where we went to help them, assist them moving a patient, and they ended up needing extra hands in the back of the ambulance. So they had me hop in with them and help them because I'm qualified to do that.
You bet.
So, yeah.
And this is a career you want to go for. This is what you want to do.
It was, like I said, I was a dental assistant before,
yeah.
And I thought I was going to go into dental, and then I kind of got my foot in the medical world, and I just realized it was more for me. Well, whether I'll go become a paramedic or go into nursing or something like that, I'm not sure yet. I still have another year or two of prerequisites to decide, but it's kind of hard because I always thought I would go into nursing or something like that. But it is definitely a field that it's a really cool thing to be a part of.
What do you like the best about this?
Recently getting to work on some of the fires around here, seeing like all of the fire departments in our kind of district, county,
yeah,
coming together, working together, and even having to pull resources from other areas like Salem or Grand Ronde or whatever, all coming together. That was a really cool to be a part of, and to see just neighbors showing up for each other to protect our areas, and getting to be, I mean, right there in these emergencies.
Sure.
Or it's a little bit stressful sometimes.
It
definitely was more at first, and I've gotten more comfortable with going on calls and knowing what to do when you see the call dispatched, and okay, I have an idea of what might happen here. Here's the different ways it could go. You know, just like the more I do it, the more comfortable I get with it. But I think just kind of being part of the community that is in the fire service and the EMS world, it's been cool. It's cool to hear other people's experiences too. People have been doing this for 30 years and yeah. Learn from them. It's awesome.
So do you stay at a firehouse or what is, and like, are you on call for like 3 days or, and then you're off one or two, or how does that work?
Yeah.
I've always been curious about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A lot of career firefighters are on for 48 hours straight is I think pretty typical. And, you know, they sleep there and if they get a call at 2 a.m, they get up at 2 a.m. and they go and they help, whether it's a medical emergency or not. I'm on 12-hour shifts. So I'm here for 12 hours and then I go home at night and I come back for 12 hours, like 4 or 5 days a week. Our schedule kind of flip-flops a little bit. But like sometimes we'll have to stay late. Like there was, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had to stay an additional like 6 hours because we were actively working on a scene and
can't just walk away.
You can't just leave. Yeah.
No, of course not. You guys are here at the fair. You want to talk about what you're doing here?
Yeah, we have a booth here with our district, and we're just kind of, I guess, educating a little bit. A lot of kids get to come up and ask us questions, or we get to hand them out little activities to do. And yeah, it's mostly just about getting to be here and be part of the community and help educate people if they have questions.
All right. They can come on down. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on it. Evan?
Ava.
Ava, sorry. And thanks for being here on Rural Matters. Appreciate you. And good luck. Keep going forward on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair. Also brought to you by DC Electric and Elite Buyers Northwest. Now back to Jake.
Thank you. Here at the studio. Sorry about the earlier deal, but I'm only human. Happy. So good to be here in August. Summer is flying by, and it's been fire season. And with me is Jace Emerson. Jace, you're a seasonal firefighter. And tell me about what you're doing. And we're going to start talking about fire. Talk about what got you into it, what you're doing, and let's just go from there, Jace.
Yeah, thank you. For a long time, from a little kid, like any little kid, I wanted to be a firefighter. And I kind of got out of it for a while and wanted to pursue sports and kinesiology and, you know, PT and that kind of stuff. And
so you wanted to go into like physical therapy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Sports medicine route or rehab? You were thinking of that?
Yeah, sports medicine. And then I didn't want to go to school anymore. So
okay.
I didn't.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And so I've been a volunteer with Southwest Polk for about a year now. And so
been all right
with that.
So you're seasonal, and it's fires have been the big news item.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm glad that we've got the clear sky that we have today. But what have you been experiencing so far? Are you getting out into the forest, into the woods? What's going on out there?
Just about a week ago, I got back from over kind of Eastern Oregon area. There's a Rogue Creek Complex fire, and I was working on that one. And I mean, you know, the winds are shifting, and that's why we had the smoke. We had an east a wind from the east, and so that pushed the smoke all the way over to the coast. And I mean, a lot of the time we just are out there, you know, waiting. And we hurry up and wait is our motto. Sure. And so we get there as fast as we can, and then we wait. And, you know, we have safety points. We have a point to where the fire hits this, we're out of there. We're done. You know, we're not doing anything else because our safety and, you know, homes and stuff, we really protect homes a lot. And we kind of just work with other districts. And when we go out, we have it's called a task force. And so it's five or six crews together working on a set assignment, and there's night shift, day shift. And so it's really cool to see how it all just comes together. And, you know, you see, I mean, you've seen there's movies and stuff like that and news articles of, you know, people working through the day. And I mean, you have your hand crew that builds the line and, you know, makes it to where they try and contain the fire. And then just seeing the behind the scenes is really eye opening.
All right, give me something eye-opening.
The most thing I saw that was eye-opening was the shift. You know, your night shift goes off and your day shift comes on, you know, you don't talk to those guys at all, but there's just a coordination, you know, just somehow the shift and the day shift, night shift just know what to do, where to start, how to do it. And I mean, there's a lot of behind the scenes, you know, there's people that are up all night, you know, trying to plan for these things and doing the weather and, you know, showing us what needs to be done. And just the way they tie it all in together is really amazing.
Well, like I said, it's no secret that this has been, whether you've been in Europe, Canada, and certainly, you know, sadly what happened in Spokane with a lot of which was started by somebody, which is just, you know, heinous. What do you like about what you're doing so far?
The people, a lot, you know, you even just seeing, you know, going up to a house and asking them for permission to walk around their property. And, you know, people are so welcoming and nice. And then, you know, you have different districts and that you're working with and different stations. You know, everyone is just, you're all there for the same reason. And you just, I mean, instant bond.
So are you going from like a house to house and telling people how to be preventative? Is that what you're doing? Or are you actually involved in the fires themselves?
It's different every night. So, okay. You know, one night we were up there fighting the fire because it came over the highway, and that was our point. And so we were fighting that fire. And then, you know, the next night we could be going door to door to houses and being like, hey, we're doing surveys. And so our day crew can come in and know what to cut and what to move. And a lot of times, I mean, they don't care if we, you know, cut down all their trees around their house as long as
they probably want you to if there's something, you know, because you're trying to prevent it from getting worse, if I'm hearing you right, right? Yep. Wow, that's incredible. So, you know, you're doing this, it's seasonal. So, you know, when did your season start, and how much longer does it hold for you?
Season started about a month ago, a month or two. And it goes as long as the state can pay us. You know, they get a grant for a set amount of people to pay us. And I mean, a lot of the times it'll go clear into November and October.
Sure.
Just because, I mean, it's been super dry. We didn't have a very wet winter or any snow or anything. And so it'll go, you know, as long as they can physically pay us to.
How far is your firefighting taking you? Where's the furthest place from here that you've been, and what were you doing?
The furthest I've been was Eastern Oregon. So Fossil, Oregon.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we went there, and we were in Cave Falls for a night.
Wow.
And so we went there that's the farthest I've gone so far.
You like what you're doing? You like this?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Is this something that you think you're going to build on, and do you need more training to do it?
It is definitely something I want to build on. Yeah. And need more training. I mean, everyone could use more training.
Sure.
There's always something to learn, but I'll definitely, you know, go down my career path and get more certifications to do other things, you know, drive a bigger vehicle or, you know, become a, you know, instructor to teach people how to do things. And, you know, there's so many different routes you can go in just one profession.
So, like I, our previous guest, I said, if somebody's listening and they're listening to you and they want to do what you're doing, how do they get on the ground and start this path?
Just volunteer at a station. You know, I can almost guarantee just any station is open for volunteers. You know, it always helps because a lot of times, like our station will, if you show dedication and the fact that you want to follow that career path, our station, you know, will sometimes, you know, help with schooling and pay for that kind of stuff. And so that was another big thing for me is like, they're going to pay for me to go get my EMT. And so that's a huge deal.
Okay. What's it going to take for you to get all the way through that?
Just time. You know, it's time consuming and I just got to pace myself and, you know, make sure I use my time well, the time I have.
Are you going to have a big, hard test like Eva did?
Yeah.
I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I definitely will have, you know, the big test, the national at the end of it. But I'm going through the same program that she did. And I'm going to, you know, use my time well and study and, you know, do what I can. And our station is very, you know, like if you need to study and you have homework, like do it. Like don't worry about, you know, doing our station chores and like get that done because that's the most important thing, you know.
So this has been kind of a tough year, I think. We always have fires. That's the thing. What are some of the veterans saying about this season? Are they, anybody, you know, saying, wow, this has really been some summer? Are you hearing anything? What's the conversation been around the water cooler? I use that term carefully.
Yeah. This, you know, they've been saying that it's a bad season. You know, it started early and fires they're going on runs. They're going for a long time and they're getting hard to put out. You know, we're having different wind shifts and, you know, that just changes the game is. And I mean, you know, having a super dry winter is what is really making it a bad season.
Yeah, I don't think it's been super, super hot. It's just been super, super dry with breeze and no humidity is what I've been hearing. We've got a minute left. What are you doing here at the fair? And what people want to come say hi to you or contact you? Go ahead. Give us some stuff.
We have a booth over by the playground and we're just, I mean, talking to people if they have questions, asking them. And I mean, if they look like they're old enough to be a volunteer, we're going to try and reel them in and make them a volunteer. And if they want to contact us, you know, they can go online and search up, you know, Southwest Polk Fire. And then our station number is right on there. And we'll have someone in station to pick up the phone and they can talk to them more on the paperwork and admin side and that kind of stuff.
All right. We got less than 30 seconds. What are you guys doing after you're done with the fair? Where do you go? Where are you at?
We'll go back to the station and, you know, just hang out there for a little bit, you know, do clean up. I mean, if we get a call, we have to leave.
You got to bolt.
Yep.
You got to go, right?
Go. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you guys are always monitoring things and away we go. Listen, thank you so much. And God bless you guys. Be safe, both of you. This is Jake, Real Matters. So glad to be here. And we'll be back in the studio next week. We'll be talking fires.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll do it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, live from the Home Comfort broadcast booth at the Polk County Fair on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.